All right, welcome back. Arthur Smith today defending Justin Fields' decision to never throw the ball in the middle of the field on Sunday, saying Jesse Bates is their Jason Bourne. Our Jason Bourne is TJ Watt, and you saw how TJ Watt wrecked their game plan. Now, never seen any of the Bourne Identity movies. That's Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Was he really a total...
badass?
Yeah, was he
extremely.
Just, yeah. Is this a good movie series to
I mean, have you ever
into?
Seen the John Wicks?
No. That's about a guy that's pissed that someone killed his dog?
Yes, that's the start of a 4-movie trilogy.
Yeah,
never Do you seen like it. Action movies?
No.
Then
I'd rather watch
it.
I'd rather see a good play.
A good play, like an actual stage production?
Yeah.
Like, so if I said, Pony, you could watch Terminator 2, widely considered one of the great action sequels ever made, or this is a high school bidding for a Gene Kelly Award by doing Godspell.
No, I don't like musicals.
Okay, so you want to see, okay, this is a high school theater company doing Hamlet.
Yes.
Macbeth.
Yep.
Those witches right around
the Merchant of Venice.
Oh, how about Death of a Salesman?
How about the Something Shrew?
The Taming of the Shrew.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that shrew was needed to be tamed, my friend.
Steve Palazzolo, the 33rd team, back with us. Hello, Steve.
Hello. How you doing, guys?
Steve, action movie fan? You like Jason Bourne movies?
I think I watched the first one, and then I stopped.
Fair enough.
I don't have time for movies anymore. I got 4 kids.
That's true. Oh, you probably got like the, what is it? How old's your youngest?
We're 4 through 9, all the kids. Like, we're watching Despicable Me over and over again over here.
Okay, so that's the movie just getting worn out on the streaming services?
Yeah. They watched every Star Wars and every Star Wars iteration the first half of this year. The second half of this year, it's been Despicable
Have
Me.
Have they watched The Lion King,
again.
Steve?
No Lion King. Haven't gone
Pony
there.
Made an argument 2 days ago when James Earl Jones passed away at the ripe old age of 93. He argued that his role as Mufasa was more iconic than his role as the voice of Darth Vader.
I stand by that comment.
I'm not even a Star Wars fan, and I think that's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Steve, was it ridiculous that Fields never threw to the middle of the field, or was Arthur Smith's take that, hey, Jesse Bates is looming there and lurking, so that's why we didn't do it? Is that justification enough in your mind?
I mean, I think it's a little overblown just because, not to be too results-oriented, but they won. They moved the ball pretty well. I know they didn't put the ball in the end zone, but, you know, having that nice drive at the end of the half to just set up another field goal. I mean, I think Fields played one of his better games. I think it's funny that he didn't throw to the middle of the field, but he was productive. So I don't think it matters a whole lot yet. So I'm not too worried about it.
What did you overall like the most about the way he played?
Well, I mean, he threw the ball accurately outside the numbers on those throws. He had that, you know, nice couple big time throws to Pickens. I thought Arthur Smith did a pretty good job of scheming it up for Fields. You know, there was about 50% play action. There was a bunch of design runs in there. And so I thought it was a good Justin Fields-esque type of game plan, the type of thing when you were trying to figure out if Fields was the guy for the Bears over the last couple of years, you would say, hey, why not roll the pocket? Why not a few more design runs? Why not a little bit more play action to help protect Fields? And I feel like the Steelers did all of those things in week one, and they got a pretty good game out of them.
Steve, if I told you that the Steelers would not make Justin Fields like a more dynamic passer, and by that I mean he would not suddenly start throwing 300 yards every game, but they would cut his turnovers down by like 60 or 70%, would you say that then the Steelers would have on their hands a very good player at quarterback?
I think it'd be a good fit for what the Steelers can do, especially if the defense plays the way they did on Sunday. So yeah, I think that'd be a solid starting quarterback. And
Steve,
then look at the league right now. Nobody's passing like crazy, so that would kind of fit in.
You know, this might freak you out or creep you out. I actually thought about you a lot watching him on Sunday. You were mind constantly. You know why? Because for years you've come on the show and you've, at times, we've asked you to basically give a soliloquy about like what you did at your old employer. And you would say like this, we're trying to show people that the box score stats are not what you judge people by. We try to analyze every play. And when I watched Field against Atlanta, I was like, okay, I know it says 150 passing yards and 57 rushing yards and they didn't score a touchdown, but I just thought the guy played well. I just thought he played a good game. And I said to Chris afterwards, I didn't leave that game thinking he made one throw. I was like, oh my God, damn, he'd really want that one back, or he put that one in harm's way. And early in the season, for a guy on a new team who found out he was going to start later in the week, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he thought of me. You know, that's how everyone should be watching the game. Let's really understand the performance and not just look at the stat line. It's funny, rushing quarterbacks kind of change your perception a little bit. I used to hate watching a college game. I used to call it the JT. Remember JT Barrett at Ohio State?
Yes.
He'd have a game where he was like 9 for 20 for 100 yards, but he would run 18 times for 100 yards. And it was like, the pass game was terrible. It was uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, it's like, wow, they moved the ball. And the 100 yards rushing is valuable from the quarterback. And, you know, Fields moving the chains, you know, QB sneak here and there, a keeper. Those things add up. And if you start stealing first downs on the ground with your quarterback, five of which, you know, Fields had the other day, mm-hmm. it might not show up in the passing stats. But at the end of the day, that's efficient offense. And it's, look, you'd like to be a little bit more explosive and do some other things better, but I thought it was a really good game from Fields on Sunday.
Yeah, but I think, like, you kind of tipped your hand, and I agree with I find myself sharing the same sentiment when you said it's about not throwing to the middle of the field. Well, it's good enough for now. I think there are most people who just say, yes, it was efficient in many ways. It was they moved the ball enough. But there's like that lingering, nagging feeling in the back of people's minds, Steve. If they're ever going to go anywhere seriously this year with Justin Fields, he's got to become a better passer. That's certainly the camp I would place myself in after watching that game.
I mean, that's just the reality anyway, right? I mean, even if he did hit a couple passes in the middle of the field and had the best game he's ever had, there's still 3 years of other track record in Justin Fields where you would say, well, I still don't know if he's good enough for the Steelers to, you know, make it to the AFC Championship and compete with the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens. You still don't know that, even if he has an unbelievable week one. So, yeah, I mean, if they're going to overachieve this year and make a run, of course, he's going to have to be a better passer. For now, it was a good start, and there has to be things to build upon. I haven't watched the film through the lens of why he didn't throw to the middle of the field. Like, I watched the film, but I didn't do it through that lens. Like, did he miss this? You know, whatever it might be. So, yeah, you'd rather see a little bit better rounded game from Justin Fields. But again, what are the expectations for him this year? And how much would he have to exceed them for the Steelers to, you know, get to the Final Four, make a run through the playoff?
Steve, are you fairly convinced that right now he's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson? Even if Wilson had, like, Mother Teresa touch his calf and it healed him entirely, would you still say, yeah, Justin Fields, not just big picture, but even right now he gives them a better chance to win?
I would say probably right now. I mean, if I was watching Russell Wilson, I would say, okay, I haven't seen him play well for an extended period of time since early 2020. Since early COVID season was the last year I felt really good about Russell Wilson at quarterback.
So hold on. Even last year when I'm curious, I don't mean to cut you off. I kind of do, actually, because I just did. That five-game winning streak last year where he was putting up like kind of the good, efficient numbers did not really wow you?
I mean, he played at a similar level of what Fields did on Sunday. And we're excited about Fields because it exceeded expectations. But that's like game manager Russell Wilson. Like, he played pretty well. He was fine during their stretch. But they had ridiculous turnover luck, the Broncos. They ran the ball really well. And just the game flow just happened to work out in their favor for a stretch. And then it fell apart. I don't think Russell Wilson ever played as well as 26 touchdowns and 8 picks and whatever his passer rating was last year. I thought he was okay. He was better than he was with Nathaniel Hackett in 2022. But he honestly hasn't been the guy that you're trying to figure out. Where does he rank in the top 10? Is he in the top 5 yet? We haven't had that conversation with Russell Wilson since early 2020. And so last year he was okay in the middle of the season, but nothing special.
All right, Steve. So the Denver defense, are they weak up the middle, like their linebackers and safeties? Like, would you say from a tactical strategic standpoint, like that is a place where you would want to exploit them on Sunday?
Yeah, I think there's opportunities to do that. They struggled tackling last week against Seattle. The defensive front generally is interesting because they had a great training camp. There's a lot of reports that they were tearing it up, and they started out really good against Seattle last week, but then they got moved a bit in the run game. So, yeah, I think there's linebackers to exploit there in the middle of the field.
How would you have evaluated Bo Nix's pro debut, and do Steelers fans have anything to worry about from him going into week two?
Our podcast listener, we had a podcast listener who had a bet, and it was my son, my 9-year-old son, Harry, who makes picks for us every week against the spread. It was Harry's winning percentage against Bo Nix's PFF grade this year. So, like, Harry's at 56 right now, and Bo Nix is at 44. So that's a quick synopsis. I thought Bo Nix struggled. I mean, any throw beyond the sticks or 10 yards down the field, he was 2 for 12 on 10-plus yard throws, 3 turnover-worthy plays, couple picks. I think it was 2 picks. It felt like Seattle got their hands on every pass that was thrown down the field. It was difficult. It was week one for him, but they have to find this balance of opening up throws down the field and then doing the dink and dunk stuff that Bo Nix did well at Oregon and that Sean Payton likes to do. But I thought he really struggled throwing down the field. Now, Seattle might have an awesome defense. They are athletic and really feisty in the back end, and they got Mike McDonald there. It could be Seattle, but Bo Nix looked like he really struggled in week one.
He is now at Steve Palazzolo _ on X, and he is the co-host of the Check the Mic podcast, and you can go there and find him on X, and he'll have all the links there to listen to this podcast where his son, Harry, did much better in picks against the spread than he did in week one. So congratulations on all his success, Steve.
Thank you. I'll pass it along.
See ya. Goodbye, Steve Palazzolo. He did. Didn't. Our combined record between you, me, and Donnie was abysmal.
We picked, I believe, 6 games, 4, a money ball, and then Steelers. We combined. So that's what, 18 picks to make? We went 4 for 18.
Oh, my God. Somebody said, let's just do the opposite of what these knuckleheads said.
They would have won a lot of money.
You know, I did that one year with Dulac's post-Gazette picks.
Yeah.
And I just went the opposite of him every week. This was like maybe in 2016.
Okay.
And I barely won money. It was not like a landslide. But I just committed to it from week one on because I knew he put the picks out every week. So whatever the spread was, he'd post the final score of what he predicted, and I would just do the opposite of what he said.
Nowhere near as bold a play as the famed The Bet.
Oh, yeah.
That shall remain.
Show.
That shall remain. No. Remember Malzi's bet?
Oh, yes.
Very steady bet that I placed, but we're not going to talk about
it. 2 minutes away from PM Team Power Rankings with the Backyard Brawl on Saturday. We're ranking the 5 best rivalries in Pittsburgh sports. But first, Nelly, headline.